drawn swords. I was looking at one of the commentaries, and it was talking about an occasion when they had a contest, and many of the artists and the sculptors got together and put their pieces together that best represented peace to them. Many of them actually showed sunsets. It is beautiful. I live on the lake, and doesn't set quite as far over as I'd like for it to set where you can see it, but it's still beautiful out there, especially when the sky turns orange. You know, just to see all that out there. And sometimes they painted pastoral scenes. It's kind of neat to go out there and see the cows after they fed and they're laying down, probably under a shade tree if they can find it. And for hunters, we know that that's not a very good time to go hunting because that means the animals are not feeding. But still, you get that picture, that beautiful scene. However, the prize went to an artist who had painted a bird in a nest attached to a branch protruding from the edge of a thundering waterfall. You see, sometimes we have the idea that peace is when everything's going well around us. That's not biblical peace. That's the kind of peace the world can even grasp. When nothing's happening and there's no conflict and there's no problems, it's pretty easy to have peace of mind. Oh, turn me on. All right. But what happens if everything's falling apart and you're facing difficult circumstances? Is it possible to have that kind of peace? Amen. As Doug was sharing with us the things that Christ went through on the cross, I want to kind of back up a little bit farther back to when he was, or even before he was born. Isaiah 9:6 has a prophecy. You don't have to turn there. We'll go to another place in a minute. I just want to read the prophecy to you. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." When the angels were announcing to the shepherd about Jesus coming, found in Luke chapter 8. Again, I'll just read it for you. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" So what was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world? To bring peace. Well, what in the world does all of that mean? Interesting thing, I was sharing something with Rick earlier in our Sunday school class this morning. What's the opposite of peace? I usually think of the term worry. I know you don't worry much, right? Most of us are pretty much worriers, and you know, worrier will rob you of your peace. It really will. You know what makes up the word worrier? There's two Greek words that make up the word, English word for worry. One of them means mind. The other one means divided. Divided mind. It means you've got some good things happening up there in your thoughts, but a lot of bad things happening in your thoughts as well. A lot of negative things. You know, what if? What if it doesn't happen? What if it does happen? How's it going to work out? What will I do? You don't ever think about those things, do you? Worry is kind of the opposite. There's kind of a battle that goes on in the mind sometimes. And, you know, I believe that Scripture tells us that Jesus came to bring us peace. Now, He came to bring us peace in two different ways. Before you can have peace of mind, you've got to have peace with God. Open up your Scriptures, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Now, first of all, the Bible made it seems, as we talked about the Prince of Peace and He came to bring peace, it sounds like He came when He came in the world that the whole world should be at peace now. Have you noticed that that's not happened yet? Now, I believe it's going to happen in the future when Jesus sets up His kingdom, but until then, He can bring us individual peace, can't He? But it starts again with having peace with God. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith unto the grace which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Boy, I wish Paul had left that verse out. Did you catch that? We glory in tribulations. You know, I bet you if you ask Miss Debbie, after you leave the choir, you're going to be in an accident. What do you think Miss Debbie's response would have been? Woo! That's going to be great! An accident? Will it be a good one? No, we don't usually accept tribulation quite so good. I think what he's talking about is the results of what can happen through tribulations if we trust the Lord. And I believe that's what he's talking about in this passage. It says, "Glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man would die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we who rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." What all that's talking about is through Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, paying the price for our sins, it makes it possible that now we can be reconciled back to God and have that personal relationship with God because our sins have been paid for. We have peace with God. Now somebody's going to say, "Brother Terry, what does that have to do with peace of God?" That's a good question. What does that mean? Well, flip on over, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, this is one of the awesome chapters, by the way, guys. This is right after Jesus is trying to share with His disciples He's going to leave. The disciples were dense sometimes, all right? But they got enough to know that He was serious about leaving, and that was really bringing some worry and fear in their lives. They were not having peace, in other words. In fact, notice the very first verse, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Now turn, if you will, to verse 27 of that same chapter. Verse 27 of chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whew, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? What does all that mean? Jesus said, I'm leaving my peace with you. Now, by the way, after you have peace with God, how do you have peace of God? If you got peace with God, how do you have peace of God? Guys, it comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, not only did Christ die for your sins and pay the price for it so you could have that relationship with God, but when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is the one who produces peace in our life. It is one of the spiritual gifts. As we're led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, the Bible said He produces certain things in our lives. Love, joy, peace. So it comes from the Holy Spirit as we have a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was promised His disciples, guys, I got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. God's going to send a promise, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to come into your life. And I'm going to give you peace. Now, you notice He said it was different than the world offers. So what kind of peace does the world offer? Temporary, all right. What else? All right, enjoyment where you're at? Lack of troubles. You know, the world promises you, if everything works out good, you can have peace and happiness. You know the word happiness, happenstance? Things are going good. I can be happy. Things are going good. I got peace. Does your life ever go that good without having any problems? So is it possible for Christians not to have peace? I mean, if we have that peace with God through Jesus Christ, and if the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we get peace from the Holy Spirit, He produces that as a fruit in our life, is it ever possible for believers not to have that peace? Oh yeah, quite often. Quite often. Open up the Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I love this. Philippians chapter 4. By the way, this is one of my favorite verses. Chapter 4, yep. Wonderful book. This is one of the prison epistles, so to speak. Paul, it's not like everything was going great in Paul's life. He was actually in jail for preaching the gospel. And yet, this is called the Book of Joy. In fact, just a few verses before we get to where we're going to talk about, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you forget, again I say rejoice. I know that nobody has heard of that verse because I notice on Sunday morning when Miss Debbie leads music. You know, y'all are mean looking. I'm serious. Y'all are mean looking. Some of you ain't even awake yet. That's why Miss Debbie says, tell your face that you're happy. Somehow the message didn't get from your brain to your muscles and your face, okay? All right, notice, if you will, in chapter 4, we're going to begin reading verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we stop right there, and we really shouldn't. We should go on and look at what else that Paul's talking about. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Ooh, I like that. All right. Obviously, it is possible for believers to get discouraged and not have peace and to worry and to have fears. And so Paul is writing and said, guys, stop worrying. Now, I can give you my translated version. It says, don't worry about anything and pray about everything. That's literally what that says. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. So if you've got a problem in your life and you're not experiencing the peace of God in your life, maybe you're worried, maybe there's fears, maybe there's other things, what do you do about it? How do you handle it? How do you get rid of it? Obviously, God's made it possible for you to have it. There it is. But how do you get rid of it and get that peace back? Do what? All right, you know, we just talked a while ago about the mind. A divided mind is what worry's all about. So refocus your thinking. I like that. You notice he said good things there. All right, what else? Pray. There you go. There's the first one. Go to him in prayer. Now, I've got a few verses here I want to look at. Now, I thought that was interesting. There's a proverb that says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, if you don't think your thinking doesn't affect how you feel, it does. So if you're thinking wrong and it's causing those bad feelings, what do you got to do? You got to change your thinking. All right? Now, the great thing about the Lord, and this is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, the New Testament says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It appears that what the Lord says is quit carrying the burdens around and bring them to me. Is Michael here? Michael, are you there? Oh, there, I see him in the back. We carried some burdens the other day, didn't we, buddy? Wheelbarrows with rocks and buckets with rocks. It wasn't fun. Just wasn't fun. You know, every time we made a round, we didn't say, "Woo, wasn't that great? Let's get 3 or 4 buckets this time." No. We didn't do that. We were glad when it was over. Well, you know what? The Lord knows how tough it can be in life. And he said, listen, quit trying to tote all those burdens on your own. Bring them to me. You notice the scripture says, don't worry about it, pray about it. You notice it also says something unusual. It says something about thanksgiving. Well, if I got these burdens and I'm supposed to bring them down to the altar and they're just so big I want to lay them on the altar, then what am I thinking? Who do I think? What am I thinking for? Well, guys, faith would say, Lord, I believe you're going to help me with these burdens and I'm not going to have to worry about them anymore. I'm going to leave them right here and I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do through all of it. Guys, that's called faith. You want to get rid of the worry and the fear in your life and get that peace of God, you got to learn to trust God. That what he's promised, he'll do. If you bring them to him, he'll carry them. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks who'd bring those burdens up here, pray about them, and then pick them right back up and walk back with them. That happens to a lot of people. They really do. I brought them to the front. You got to leave them there. You got to trust that God will help carry that, and you won't have to do it, and he can give you that peace restored back there, all right? So there's changing your way of thinking. Now, by the way, what else causes worry and fear and the loss of peace? Sin. Ooh, bad word. Just three little letters. S-I-N. Guys, you can't expect to have peace in your life if you're living in sin. There's no shortcut. I wish I could tell you he's that little grandfather guy that just overlooks what you're doing. Did anybody ever have one of those? Your grandmother sure wouldn't. Man, too bad your sister's not here. She could talk about the shovel. Didn't she get a shovel after her? Yeah. Man. Not all of us have those great little grandfathers or grandmothers that overlook those things like that. God's not that way either. Guys, when you have sin in your life, it hinders your fellowship with God. That's why he sent Jesus down the cross, to pay for those sins. That's like taking a pig out of the slop, clean it up, turn it loose to go right back in the slop. That's the reason I don't wash my Jeep, by the way. If I wash my Jeep, I still got to go down 4 miles of dirt road. It'll be just as dirty as when I before I washed it. I figure it'll fall off sooner or later. Oh, my wife would shoot me, wouldn't she? Guys, you got to take care of sin and get it out of your life. That will rob you of your joy. Listen to this passage of Scripture. This is found in Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Isn't that wonderful? If we'll look to the Lord, if we'll keep our eyes on him. You know, I was thinking about Peter. Remember when Peter comes up there, Peter's got some pretty good faith compared to the rest of them because the rest of them didn't say, Lord, let us get out of the boat and walk on the water. You know, we talk bad about Peter sometimes, but at least he was bold enough to say, hey, I want to do it. He steps out and he's walking on the water. But then he begins to look at the storm. He takes his eyes off the Lord. And the Bible said he begins to sink. That happens in our lives, doesn't it? Man, we've got a relationship with the Lord, it's going good, and all of a sudden this storm pops up. We see the storm, and it looks big. Remember what the spies come back and told everybody? We went in, and it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants and big walls, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're going to squish us. Like a bug. We can't do it. You know, sometimes our faith is that way, isn't it? That circumstance and that storm looks pretty serious. And so we take our eyes off the Lord and we look at the storm and it'll suck you right down. It'll suck you all your joy out, all your peace. Did Peter drown? No. Did he get wet? Yeah. You know, Peter was one of them slow Christians. It took him a while. But he finally caught on. Guys, it takes a lot sometimes for us to realize just what God's got for us. But I'm going to tell you, he's got a peace he wants you to enjoy. What a great testimony for anybody when you see a believer that's going through a difficult time and it's not robbing them of their joy. They got joy. And not to mention that, they got peace. Now, by the way, what does peace mean? What words would you use to describe peace? Okay, their mind's not divided. Okay, that's good. Thanksgiving, okay. Now, I've got some great words for you. Harmonious. 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 Freedom. Freedom from fear. Rest. Quietness. Contentment. Kind of think of the 23rd Psalms when I think of contentment. Opposite of war and dissension. I think somebody said that a while ago. Tranquility. The absence of confusion. There's not having the divided mind. Calm. Don't you remember when the storm was there and the disciples were all upset and Jesus told the water and the wind and the storm, peace, be still. And everything was calm. God wants you to be able to have that calmness no matter what's going on around you. It's not what the world has. In fact, you notice what he says in that passage in Philippians, a peace that passes all understanding. The world's not going to understand it. They're going to look at you and go, you're deaf. You're crazy. How can you be so calm when everything's caving in around you? Because we're in the hands of the Lord, which is hidden in the cleft of the rock. And the storms can come and blow and blow and blow, but He's not going to let up on it. He's not going to turn you loose. He didn't get caught by surprise. He's not too weak for any situation that He can handle. He can handle it all if we trust Him. He can give us that peace. You know what happens when the doctor comes back and says, it's cancer. Well, I know you want healing. And praise the Lord, God can do that too. But He doesn't always choose to do that. How do you handle that? Well, the way I can handle that is because I have peace with God. Because now that I got peace with God, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Guys, if you had just a chance to spend 1 minute in heaven, you'd never want to come back here. Do you know that? I mean, we hold on to life because that's what we know. This is life as we know it. We have loved ones. We've got family. We've got jobs. We've got things that we like to do, and we hold on to it tightly. But if you could just experience what God's got waiting for you, you would trade it all. I really bet Lazarus was upset. When you know, he'd already died, he's in heaven, and all of a sudden he hears this voice. Lazarus, come back! You think it possibly he was thinking, no. Lord, you don't understand, I have to live with those two sisters. No, that wouldn't be the reason. The reason would be he was experiencing the presence of God. Rest. Peace more than we will ever know with God. Guys, if he says cancer, it's going to be difficult, yes. But you can still have peace in that too. You know, we used to pray for my brother. When my brother got the word, he got cancer. He had a heart attack first, and didn't like the doctor, traded doctors. The doctor wanted a new workup, so they went through all the x-rays all over again, come back and said, listen, there's something on the x-rays that's bad. We don't know what it is. All we can see is it's just a really dark, dark, dark area on your lungs. They went in to do exploratory surgery and had to just sew him right back up. Because it wasn't brand new cancer. It had been there for a long time. He just didn't know it. So he went through all the treatments. And I'm going to tell you, we prayed. Our church was praying. His church was praying. A lot of people were praying. And you know what we prayed for, don't you? Healing. And you know what God did? He healed him permanently. He took him to glory. And guys, that ain't a bad thing. I guarantee you he wouldn't come back if you gave him a chance. Like to kill my mom. He had a family. His daughters weren't quite grown. They were almost. But it almost killed my mom. She couldn't understand. God, how could you do that? I'm the mother. I'm the old one. I'm the one that's supposed to die first, not my kids. Well, guys, I don't know the reason God called him on home, but I'm going to tell you, he called him to a better place. He didn't have to worry anymore about sin, didn't have to worry about not having that peace of God because he had it permanently. Guys, God wants you to have peace no matter what comes your way. He can help you through it if you'll trust him. Starts with praying. If you've got problems with not having that peace right now, just go to the Lord. Take those burdens to him. Change your way of thinking. Go back and realize. Did you notice at the end what we read a while ago where it says start doing the things that you need to start doing again, and the God of peace will be with you. Guys, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is right there with you. No matter what you go through, he's there. He's not going to bail on you. I know sometimes when you got friends, they'll bail on you when things are not going well. God doesn't bail on you. I don't know if you saw that movie, God Is Not Dead. We played it the other night, and it's a guy and a gal that they were having a relationship together, and she developed terminal cancer. It wasn't that you might die. He told her, you're going to die. And her boyfriend said, well, I guess that ends our relationship. Walked away from her. Guys, relationships can be broken in this life, but I'm going to tell you one that can't never be broken, that's Jesus Christ. He'll be with you forever and ever. Isn't that great? Look to him, trust him, change your thinking, put it back on him. I like something. There was something that the Lord told the Israelites that they needed to go back and do what he said, and he'd take care of them. He said, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now, first of all, they didn't listen to the Lord and they didn't go back. They didn't repent. They didn't rest in him. And so they didn't have that strength, that quietness, that confidence in him. But God tells us we can have it. Look to him. Obey him. And he can bring that quietness. Let's pray. Father, there may be someone here this morning that does not have peace with you. It's going to be hard to have peace of mind when they don't have peace with the true and living God. But Father, you made it possible that anyone could have peace with you by sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price, the ultimate price, to shed his precious blood to pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that now we could be reconciled back to you and have peace with you. What a picture of being reconciled. Binding back that which was torn apart. Jesus Christ has made that possible. And the Bible said we can have it as a free gift. All we have to do is receive by faith that Jesus is God and that he died on the cross and paid personally for our sins. And you can have peace with God. And through the Spirit of God coming into our life at that same moment, he can start working that peace inside of our lives, that fruit, to where no matter what happens in life, we can have that calmness, that assurance, that confidence, that quietness, that Father, you're in control, and we can trust you. Lord, just a moment, the altar's going to be open. Maybe someone just needs to come up and bring those burdens up to the front. Nobody's going to think bad about them because we all have those burdens. Lord, they can go right there where they are and where they're sitting or standing, and they can take that burden to you and give it to you, and you can carry it for them. Lord, you desire us to have peace. In a world that's full of turmoil, you still want us to have peace through you. Your peace you give us, not as the world gives. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.